Today on Real Life Radio.
I'm leaving. I'm gone. Take the training wheels off because guess what? You don't have Paul with you anymore because you don't need Paul with you anymore. Who do they have with them? You've got Jesus with you. You've got the Lord with you. You need not training wheels anymore. You've got the Lord.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called It's Time to Go Now, continues in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. The Apostle Paul tells us in these verses to seek God's will for our own lives and make every effort to please the Lord by growing in faith and spiritual maturity. As believers, we're to move on in our Christian life. The Apostle Paul now takes our heads out of the clouds of glory, if you will, and places us back down to earth. Why? Because God is at work in this world, and His work carries with it both present and eternal consequences. Today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that working out our own salvation means to take what we know and use it as a starting point from which to grow. We are to seek the finish line, undeterred by desires and temptations, and we are to imitate Christ by walking in His love as we share our faith with others. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
He says, as you have obeyed, wow, you know what Paul is saying? Paul said, I gave you the word of God, and you took it in like this. You couldn't get enough. You are like little birds with your mouths wide open as the truth was being dropped in. You're going, yes, yes, yes. Boy, that's something. Listen, do I listen like that? You guys, now she's not here right now, so I can say this. Lisa won't be here till second service, but sometimes because I am the way that I am, and I'm not asking her to excuse it, I am asking her to help me get over it. Things will be going, what's happening, you know, whatever's going on and stuff. And when, if it's really important, she has to treat me like a five-year-old. I'm not saying that's her fault. I'm saying it's my fault. What she has to do, she has to come up to me right now. She'll put her hands on my shoulders and she'll say, this is what I'm telling you. I need you to get a carton of eggs or whatever it is. And you do nod your head, Jack, if you can hear me. So you pray for her, because she has to live with this, okay? But I'm telling you the truth right now. You can ask her later. That's what the apostle is saying. You guys have listened to me give you the word of God, not if you understand what I'm saying to you. And they would have been, yeah, we've listened to every word. We've put our ear under your mouth, Paul. And I'm convicted by that. Every single time, to God be the glory for His faithfulness and mercy, that when He speaks to me, I'm not always listening. I'm convinced of this now. Every time I determine to listen from God, I hear Him. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, please. When I don't hear from God, it's not because God's not speaking. I'm not listening. And when I sense that He's grabbing me by the shoulders and He says, Jack, are you listening to me? When I do, you guys, my life is so directed. It is so blessed. It is so clear what I'm supposed to do. I love it. Many times I don't agree with it though. I mean, have you ever had that with God? God will tell you something to do, and it's like, I don't agree with that. And He says, I'm not asking you to agree. Well, I think we should do this. Well, God will say, I'm not doing it. You want to go left? Go left, Jack, but I'm not going left. And it's like, all right. And you have to decide. And every time you decide to listen to Him and obey, see, did you hear the word? It's obey. Bring your ear under the mouth of, what does that imply? It implies that we are disobedient people. Think of it. He tells them, you guys are awesome. You've always obeyed. Listen, we are prone to disobedience. Even as Christians, don't look at me like that. As Christians, we're prone to disobedience. And you know it's true whenever we think or say, well, I feel like I'm going to. Oh, you know, I know it's not in the Bible, but I think God wants me to. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Watch out. No, listen. Put your ear under the mouth of the words that are coming out of God's heart. And listen, you determine to obey and watch what happens to your life. Amazing blessings. Hey, can I say this? 100% true. Obedience is liberty. Absolute liberty and freedom. Walk like that with him, to obey him. And Paul says something profound. And this is a parent pushing, as it were, a child out of the nest. Not as in my presence only. Okay, you guys obeyed very well. Listen to every word falling from my mouth when I was with you guys. But now that I'm gone, guess what? Obey much more now in my absence. What's he saying? Look, you guys did great on your training wheels in front of me. I'm leaving. I'm gone. Take the training wheels off because guess what? You don't have Paul with you anymore because you don't need Paul with you anymore. Who do they have with them? You've got Jesus with you. You've got the Lord with you. You need not training wheels anymore. You've got the Lord. Oh, listen, do we have a tendency to go back to, oh, hi, mom, dad, I don't know what to do about this or that, you know? And after, you know, it's time by now being 43 years of age, you ought to just get on your knees and ask God. I don't know what to do. Are you a Christian? Yes, pray. He will tell you. He'll show you. How's he going to do that? He'll often speak right out of his Bible. You mean I got to read it? You want to hear from him, don't you? Read his word, he speaks. Put your ear under his mouth and he'll speak and it will fall right out into your ear. Awesome. It's not a mystery to follow God. We make it difficult. We make it hard. And we, by the way, are you like me? We're all in this together. We always analyze everything to death. God says, do this. But how? Just do it. Why? Just do it. Right? Can you show me the schematic on that? And can you put it like in 3D? And God just goes, he's just like this. By the way, he normally says things once, sometimes twice. After that, have you noticed? He goes like this. Go, Jack. Go, Jack. And then he goes like this. That's what he does to me. And then I get tired of yakking and whining. And then I wind up going anyway, and I waste half a day. It's kind of like you're in battle, and you say, Doc! And somebody stands up and says, oh, why? You know, not a good move. Better to obey and then ask questions later, right? Quick, put on your seatbelt! Oh, who says? Just obey him. He's good for you. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, teachers, yet you do not have many fathers, those who have brought you to Christ. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. This is huge. You say, Jack, I thought you just said for Paul not to. No, no. He says, imitate me. Listen, imitate. We get the word mimic. You know, a mime. You know those funny street people, the mime? A mime that does the weird thing? That's exactly the word right here in the Greek. Is do what I do. Wow, that's a huge statement. That meant that Paul was so walking with Jesus that he was not afraid to tell the Corinthians or the Philippians, you watch me and you do that. Ladies and gentlemen, Christians, we ought to be able to say that. Every one of us, we should be able to go back to the campus tomorrow at school and say, you guys, listen, you want to follow Jesus? Yeah. Then do exactly as I show you to do. Do exactly as you watch me. You watch me, do the same thing. That's how we're supposed to live. That is awesome, dynamic Christianity, you guys. That'd change the world forever. It did change the world forever. Walk like you mean it. Christianity is the brotherhood of one, shared by all. Jesus is our brother. Amen? It's one with him. We are one with him. And what Jesus says and does, we're supposed to do and say what Jesus says and does. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us. Now, that verse, Ephesians 5:1, I had that interestingly brought to my attention yesterday in the reverse. I guess, let me explain for a moment first. When he says in Ephesians 5:1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Children. Follow God like children. Have you noticed children, little boys, have you noticed little boys will find their dad's work gloves, the yard gloves or something, and they'll put them on. You ever seen how funny they look? They got their arms are like this long, and the gloves are like that big. And the little guy will get his dad's hammer and walk around and start pounding stuff. Inevitably, you'll hear her before you see her. You hear clickety-clacking coming down the hallway of your three-year-old with high heels on and mommy's dress somewhere in the distance behind her, right, following. And she's... It's from the heart and God loves it. Paul told the Ephesians, follow God with a child's heart. Like a child does. And yesterday, my granddaughter and I, we were taking a walk around the block, and you know it's springtime, and those dastardly, devilish, terrible dandelions are popping up in your yard. And everybody loves that little, you know, the little ball that you blow and the seeds. Us gardeners are like, get thee behind me, Satan. I mean, those things are like death to your yard. But little kids love to blow them. And they go in a million directions into your yard. But you know, there's the flower, the little yellow blossom. Nobody collects those, right, as a bouquet. You don't go to the flower shop and you, I'd like to have a bouquet of dandelion, please. Well, dandelion bouquet. No, you don't. But you know what? My granddaughter picks one. Actually, Donna and Brent, it was from your yard. We're out in front of your house, and she picks three of them. And she says, Papa, this one's for you, this is for Mimi, and this is for Mommy. Her dad was at the firehouse, so he didn't get one. So we go home, and time goes on, and now she's gone home. And I'm in the backyard, and I see the dandelion laying in the patio. And without even thinking, I picked it up and I brought it in the house and I put it in a bowl, a cup of water to save it. Well, why would you save a dandelion flower? For only one reason. It didn't even dawn on me at that moment it was dandelion. It was from my granddaughter. And I looked at it and here's the true story. I looked at that and I said, what am I doing? And the Lord, like a lightning bolt, just deposited this in my heart. Jack, that's exactly what I do with your worship and your service to me. The world might hate it. The world might think it's trouble. It may be despised and people would like to spray killer on it. But what you bring to me, I love it. And I'm going to put it, and it was very funny. You know what? I'll put it on Facebook or something because I took a picture of it with my phone. And it dawned on me, and I had it in one of Lisa's crystal bowls, so it's all faceted with these crystals. I don't know if she appreciated it or not, but it's like, oh my goodness, here's a dandelion floating in water surrounded by crystal. And the Lord said, that's you and me, Jack, that's us. My kids are despised in this world, but I love you guys. And because it came out of my granddaughter's heart, it's like, honestly, it's the greatest flower or bouquet I've ever seen. It's the best I've ever seen. Conroy's or whoever can't make it any better than that. It's awesome. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Translation, follow me only if I am following Jesus. Exhortation, don't follow spiritual leaders if you see non-Jesus attributes in their life. Well, you know, my pastor's cool, but he gets drunk a lot. Time to leave. Well, my pastor is a great Bible teacher, but he's got this problem, and it's leave. You see what I'm saying? We should be in this thing together following Jesus, and God establishes leaders. This church has got tons of leaders all over the place in all kinds of ministries. You are to follow them. Mimic. Don't follow like this. Oh. Whatever you say. Jump off the cliff. Okay. Look, the world's full of that insanity. When you see them walking with Jesus, following Jesus, then you do that too. And by the way, I love the accountability that God places in the heart of a real leader. The fear of 1 Corinthians 11:1 should terrify every true believer, every true follower. We are living in a way that others will copy. Have you noticed that a church becomes, or a fellowship, or a group becomes like its leaders? That's a fact. It's a fact. Good, bad, or ugly, it's a fact. It's amazing. The next thing, you guys, in verse 12, at the latter end of verse 12, is this. It's time to go on now, further on in our walk with God, and we're to walk like you do it. I know that's not great grammar, but walk like you do it. See, what does that mean? It's kind of a weird statement, I know. But you know what? How God wants you and I to walk, when I say walk, it's live. When God wants us to walk, he's got that in a package. He's got that in an envelope. So it's a foregone conclusion given to us by God what we're supposed to do. You buy a Bible program and you put it in your program, or you download it into your computer, and it deposits a plan in your computer. It could be an accounting plan, it could be an engineering plan, or a piloting plan. It doesn't matter what it is. It's been deposited into your computer. It's there. You know what? You are to get into it and open it up. Everything's there. Open it up. You and I are to do that very thing. We are to walk like you, like we do it, because it's available. What are we talking about? Wow, look at verse 12 at the end. This is the statement, this is the verse that has divided churches throughout history. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How are we going to know what this really means? Church, every time you do not know what a verse means, it's very, very simple as what to do about that. Can anyone give me the answer to this question? What is the best commentary on the Bible that's available to you? Oh, class, you're beautiful. That's fantastic. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. So, for someone in here right now who's never heard the Bible, never read the Bible, you don't know anything about it, today's your first day hearing spiritual matters, you say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, I should have stayed in bed. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, why'd I come? But if you know your Bibles, you say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I know what it doesn't mean because I've read enough Bible to know I cannot save myself. I know that God does not accept any works regarding salvation. I know that God says he loves me. So what's with the fear and trembling? You see, as you know more about the Lord, you have more answers to how this verse goes, and you know how to unpack it. And then listen, we live in an amazing age where you don't have to buy $5,000, $10,000 worth of books to find out what this statement actually means in the original language. You can look it up for free now online. What is the original Greek words to these things? Well, number one, circle the word. In the Greek, it's one word. In English, it's two. It's work out. It's the word work. The word work here means this. To take, listen carefully, to take out what you have been given. The word means to put forth every effort to bringing something out of which you already possess. Is everybody listening? This is critical. This is very, very critical. The word means to strive toward the bringing out of it. The word means to seek a finish line. The word means to get to the prize or to get to the point. It is an amazing word. Look at it carefully. Get to the point. Whatever's inside of you, bring it out. Look at your Bible. Bring it out, that which is in you. Regarding this salvation, it is the word soteriology, or the study of salvation. The word means your salvation. You, your. Notice, Bible students, circle the word own. It's your own salvation. This is a huge statement. No one is going to heaven because their parents or their son is saved. No one goes to heaven on the merits of some other individual. This is what it means. It is your own salvation. I am called by God to dredge up, to bring forth something that has been given to me. Question, has it been given to you? To bring up something that has been given and to put it forth. That's all I know so far about this verse. It's given, but it's to come out of me personally. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Let's go to verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So listen, the lights are coming on a little bit. Okay, I'm starting to understand now more clearly. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Grace, salvation, gift of God. I can't work for it. That doesn't match with God's Bible, with God's word. So I lay that down. So what's happening here? I hate to bombard you with these outdoor analogies, but it is what it is, and it's springtime, is it not? It's amazing. Check this out. The ground in my backyard is just sitting there. It's dirt. It's earth. I go to Lowe's and I buy bags of bulbs. I just bought a bunch of gladiola, ranunculus, various bulbs. Okay? And the ground is just sitting there. I open up the earth and I gift the earth the seed. Are you with me? The bulb. I put it in. What effort did the earth have in getting the seed implanted into it? Nothing. It received the seed, right? It received the seed and an explosion of life took place. And that thing is growing. And just now this week, and I noticed that some of them have broken the surface and they're about an inch and a half high. What's happening? Life. The longer I wait, the more the growth. Listen, is it starting to click with you? God's word gets into us. We just receive it.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called, It's Time to Go Now. Thanks for listening, and may you find rest in the fact that salvation is a gift. You only need to unwrap it and put it on. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, we don't always understand what God's doing. But the Bible tells us in Revelation that one day we will. The question is, do we know God personally? Many believe there's a God and that He's powerful, but having faith in God is to know and understand that He cares about you immensely. God's power could force obedience, but instead, He gives us the freedom to choose to come to Him through our own free will. So, if you're wondering what that means to have a personal relationship with God, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Know God, spelled out, that's K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll learn about things like how our sin is separating us from God and how God has made a way through His Son, Jesus Christ, to get right with Him. Again, it's that tab labeled Know God, and it's there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.